Thanks for listening to Talk of Our Towns on Coast Community Radio. In this edition of Talk of Our Towns, Donna Quinn interviews Chris Lehman, director of the Columbia Memorial Hospital OSHU Knight Cancer Collaboration, a new medical program at CMH that will allow patients to get care locally that they previously had to travel to other areas to receive. Due to technical difficulties, the first 5 minutes of this show were not recorded. We now join Talk of Our Towns in progress.
And so when Columbia Memorial Hospital began to transition into a plane tree, and the plane tree system is essentially patient-centered care, where people have options for the kinds of foods that they want to eat, and they have so we are now an official plane tree hospital, and so we're part of that system. And what does that mean to be a plane tree hospital?
Yes, so the, what you're referring to is the designation status, which we received from plane tree about 6 years ago. And that designation status is sort of plane tree calling out the hospital for all of it, how it goes above and beyond just being a part of the plane tree organization. There are only a few critical access hospitals in the whole world that have actually received that designation, and it's a huge process. I mean, they come in and meet with our patients, meet with our staff, look at surveys from patients, and you have to really prove to them that you're actually not just talking the talk as far as patient-centered care, but really walking the walk. And our hospital was, like, you know, lucky enough, but we earned really that designation by actually walking the walk.
Exactly. And now it is a plane tree, and one of the, I don't know if there are any other ones in Oregon. Are there ones?
There's one other designated plane tree hospital in the state. So you can see it's not easy to actually achieve that designation. And it's the Mid-Columbia Medical Center in the Dalles is the other designated.
Okay.
Facility.
All right. And how did this collaboration between Columbia Memorial Hospital and the OHSU facility come to be so that now we have a brand new cancer care center here opening in October?
So about 7 years ago or so, I'm not sure exactly the date, but the hospital started offering oncology services. I mean, we really heard from the community that people were having to travel, you know, to Longview or Portland or other areas to see an oncologist. And so we made it part of our strategic plan to offer those services here in Astoria. And we started just one day a week having an oncologist see patients here. And we had two tiny rooms in our same-day surgery department where patients would receive chemotherapy infusions. And real quick, word got out that people really liked our physician. And so he started to see more and more patients, and then eventually he was seeing patients on 2 days. And he is a great guy, but he wasn't planning on having like a full-time oncologist job out here in Astoria. So we went back to OHSU and said, hey, or we went to OHSU and said, hey, we have this great program. It's really hard to recruit an oncologist out here to a tiny place. Is there a way we could partner where maybe an oncologist from OHSU comes out and sees our patients, and we'll, you know, give you a space where he can see patients or she can see patients, and then we can do the infusions? And OHSU really liked that idea. And this was sort of the beginning of the partnership that the hospital right now has with OHSU. And so Dr. Robert Raich came out and started seeing patients a couple of days a week. And then we made a little bit larger infusion center and gave him an office where he saw patients, which was in a different building. And within 6 months, he told us, you know, I'm seeing in 2 days the same number of patients that I would see in my full-time job in Portland. So then he'd come out here for 2 days and then he'd go back to Astoria, and he was seeing more patients here than he was in a week in Portland. So we quickly knew kind of, I mean, it's sad, but good for the community because they're not having to make those trips. We worked with Dr. Sunny Park and the city to get some funds to redo a space in Dr. Park's office, because it's not inexpensive to make kind of the pharmacy and the infusion and everything that's really necessary to actually have a real cancer center. And so there was a collaboration there between Dr. Park and OHSU and us and the city to actually create the current space that's in the Park building. And over the last 4 years or so, things have really continued to grow in that space, which is a nice space, but it's definitely not. We've outgrown it, unfortunately. And so now we're adding in the new building a second medical oncologist. Dr. Jennifer Lysette is our current oncologist, and she's a wonderful OHSU provider with a tremendous education and background and incredibly caring for our patients. But there'll be a second provider in the new space, Dr. Amrita Desai. Her and her husband are moving out. They've just got an apartment here. And in September, she's going to be starting seeing patients in our current space. And then we've so we kind of grew out of that current space, and we went to OHSU and said, hey, you know, unfortunately, we're ready to grow again, and what we really would like to add is radiation to our program, because right now, you know, a lot of our patients are having to travel to Longview or Portland to get radiation, and those are, you know, radiation appointments where radiation is administered is only, you know, about 10 minutes or 15 minutes where you're actually in there getting that radiation. So to make the hour drive to Longview and the hour drive home every day for weeks is really hard on family and finding rides, because after you get that, you don't feel like driving home. So, I mean, you need someone to take you there or a bus to take you there. So it can just be so difficult for our patients, that whole experience. So we wanted to kind of cut that out, you know, so that they don't have to actually go through that process. And so the process with the building was, again, another collaboration, because in order to grow, the hospital needed the football field, which was across the street from the hospital. But there was not really a space for people to go, so for the team to go. Again, Eric Thorson working with Willis Van Dusen and Craig Hoppus from the school board and the actual Western Oregon Waste, who had the collection facility and the old dump that was up there. They needed that dump capped, and the city had never been able to afford the funds to actually cap the dump. So it's in through collaboration and community partnership, the hospital was able to cap the dump and put a great new state-of-the-art facility up there for football and soccer and softball and baseball. And we were able to get the land that is the current football field in order to have the space to expand and actually put the cancer center there. So that was a long-winded answer to your question, but I think it gave you some history in terms of how we came to be.
Yes, absolutely, because now the football field has parking and it has a brand new, I don't know if you want to call it pavilion, but you have, I mean, I don't know, what's the square footage of this new cancer care center?
Yeah, so it's about 19,000 square feet in the new building, which is, we're just under 5,000 square feet in our current location. So, I mean, it's a huge expansion. And we wanted to build it big enough so that, you know, in 5 years, we're not coming back and saying, hey, we need a new cancer center. So, I mean, we wanted to put enough space in there that we can really grow. So there's enough office space for three oncologists in the medical oncology department and two oncologists in the radiation oncology department. So we're expecting to grow, because we're not thinking it's just going to be a story of people coming to use this. I mean, Cannon Beach people from up on the peninsula, we're really hoping that it becomes a regional center that people want to come to.
Well, right. Estuary is becoming kind of a hub of the Columbia Pacific region, that's for sure. So you worked out this collaborative with OHSU and the Phil Knight OHSU group to make this happen, but the community was also involved here.
Oh, very much in the design of the building and in the choice of the things that went into the building. So I think the first part I'll touch on is the collaboration with the artists and artisans. Richard Rowland from the Astoria Dragon Kiln and Randy McClellan, who's also from the Astoria Dragon Kiln, have worked with me to find 17 local artists who are making original pieces of art that are going to go into the building. So when we were talking about Plane Tree earlier, art is a huge component of Plane Tree, and community is a huge component of Plane Tree. So I think that when people come to see the maybe not as patients, but to get to come to the open house and the tour, they'll get to see a lot of the incredible artwork that our local artists have made. And then I've also tried to work with local artisans. So Dennis Thomas, who's a local carpenter, is actually making the tables that are going to go into the building. And that comes from reclaimed wood from our area. And Lum and Kestrel from High Light Studios, they made a lot of the lights that are going into the building. And so it's just been a great collaboration as far as what's going into the building. And then we had a night at the Lovell Tap Room in the Fort George, where our contractor put together a mock-up of the infusion space, and we invited about 15 to 20 of our patients and then about 15 to 20 local community members, as well as all of our caregivers, to come in. And we had the infusion chair companies out there bring about 20 different infusion chairs, and we had a rating, so that there were little scorecards for each of the chairs, so the patients got to sit in all 20 of those chairs, the community members got to sit in all 20 of those chairs, and our caregivers got to pretend to be nurses, you know, with patients sitting in those chairs so they could see which one they liked. And through that process, we chose not only the infusion chair that we picked, but because we had a mock-up of the infusion space, we got a lot of questions from patients, like, you know, where do I put my purse and where do I put my coat and how would I eat if I'm sitting in this spot? Like when you deliver things to me while the infusion's going on. And so we were able to actually make changes in the design of the building based on the feedback from our community members, which when the chair company vendors left, they brought me aside and said, you know, We've been selling chairs for 20 years, and I've never been to a place where the hospital actually like had the community all come in and pay for dinner and beer for them to come and try out, you know, the infusion chairs so that they could get something that was really comfortable for them. Usually they're talking to us about price and all of this stuff. We didn't put price at all on any of the chairs. We just wanted the one that the patients really wanted.
Chris, I can see that you are so enthusiastic and passionate about this, and I think that your heart and soul are in this project. So clearly you have engaged the community, which is really important. And we're going to talk about what the brand new Columbia Memorial Hospital OHS Unite Cancer Collaborative Center is going to look like, what's going to happen in there in the next half of the program. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. My guest is Chris Lehman. Chris is the director of the Columbia Memorial Hospital OHS Unite Cancer Care Collaborative. It's a beautiful pavilion. It is on the former Estrella High School football field. On Sunday, October 15th, it will be open to the public for a tour. We're not sure of the time yet, but we will stand by. We will have that here at the station and also in the newspaper. And you're hoping to see patients in the beginning of October. So let's talk about where we are now. So right now, you're installing equipment, and you have a team here. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the sort of main piece in the new building that we're adding or service that we're adding is radiation. And so in order to administer radiation, you have to have a linear particle accelerator. And so it's a device that actually fires electrons into a piece of tungsten to emit this breaking radiation that is then incredibly precisely administered to the patient to kind of, I mean, for lack of a better term, sort of melt the tumor that is inside of the cancer cells that are inside of the person's body. And so because of that precision, you have to have a team of engineers and physicists that actually come out to install the device. So the first part was we had to have a physicist actually design the concrete room that the linear particle accelerator is housed in to make sure that the people who are working in there every day, you know, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, are safe to be there. And then to make sure that the machine itself can have the accuracy that it needs to have. So that was the first piece. Then the contractor actually has to build that piece. And it has to be down to the millimeter in terms of the concrete, which is incredibly precise. And we actually had some delays in pouring the concrete just because Doug and Al and the guys at PNC Construction wanted to make sure that they got it exactly right. And then after they pour all of that concrete, a team comes out from Great Britain to actually inspect the vault.
I just want to mention, you bought for this center the top-of-the-line why don't you explain just what you bought? And it's made in Great Britain, right? That's
correct. It's an Elekta Versa HD linear particle accelerator, which has an incredibly complex table and a lot of electrical systems that allow it to have what's called sub-millimeter accuracy. So when the beam of radiation is being fired into the person, from any angle, that beam can be fired to a point in your body within 1 millimeter of where it was intended to be fired, which until about a year ago was not even possible. So the device that we had, we actually had physicists and radiation oncologists come from OHSU to look at our machine, because at OHSU right now, they don't have a machine that is as accurate as the machine that we're installing out here right now. So it's pretty incredible.
Wow. So that's made in Great Britain. So you had a team of people from Great Britain come over. And
correct.
Now you have a team from Australia. So
yeah. No, it's a worldwide company, Elekta, the company that makes these. There's only two companies in the whole world that make them, and they're both in Europe. So the device was actually delivered after that inspection, where the team from Great Britain came out to inspect the room and said everything meets specifications. They put our accelerator on a boat, and I was just listening to the ship report. It was so cool to hear about the Panama Canal and everything. So it was on a boat that left Great Britain, went through the Panama Canal, and then came to Long Beach, California, and then they did a second final inspection, and once we passed that final inspection, it came out of storage in Long Beach, California, got on a truck, and it arrived on the 10th of July here in Astoria with a team of three engineers from Australia who specialize in putting it together and calibrating the machine. It takes about 6 weeks to do all that. We're about 4 weeks in now, and everything is going really smoothly. They've been incredibly complimentary about the whole CMH team, the construction guys actually building the team, and the physicists from OHSU that they've been working with. So things are going very well as far as the installation of the device.
And you only broke ground about a year ago, even though I know you've been working on this project for 2 years. You broke ground about a year ago, and you're hoping to get the keys at the end of this month.
That's correct.
In September, you'll be installing equipment. And have you already hired? Because I know you're moving from about 17 people, you said, in oncology to eventually you think you'll have about 37 people working there.
That's correct. In the end of probably first quarter of next year, we'll have about the full staff of 37 people. And we have hired several of them. So our physicist who will be working in the building, that's the person who's responsible for making sure all the calibration and quality assurance on the linear particle accelerator is done, has been hired. He's in the process of moving out here to Astoria, but he has been a physicist at OHSU, so he's moving out here, and he will continue to be an employee of OHSU, but he'll live in Astoria. He has been out here many times already since the guys have started basically to put together the device. We've hired a new medical oncologist, Dr. Amrita Desai, who is in the process of moving to Astoria, a radiation oncologist who is Dr. Sahar Rosenbaum, who's moving to the area, a lead radiation therapist. So a lot of the key people that will be working in the building have been hired and have already started working on things.
And you're hoping to have, well, let's see, you're, actually, no, I wanted to ask this. Okay, so this is an adult facility.
Correct.
So it will be for adults, and it will be for, I mean, so if someone, if a general practitioner sends someone to, says, you know, I want you to go see somebody, I think, you know, I want you to see an oncologist, then they can go there, and the only thing that you won't be offering there in terms of cancer care is just surgery.
That's correct. So there is no surgery center. The hospital is starting to partner with OHSU to have OHSU surgeons out here in Astoria. So there is potential that one day we could have, you know, an oncology surgeon coming out here to do two procedures. But you're right. For now, OHSU or somewhere in Portland is where patients would go to have surgeries. But yes, for PET CT, radiation, getting chemotherapy, all of those things will be able to be done in the new center.
What are you the most excited about this? And because I know people in the community now know that you're doing this. They ask you questions. I mean, what are you hearing from people and how are you responding?
Yeah, I mean, I think the stories from patients about radiation specifically have been very touching to me. Dr. Lysette, who's our medical director, tells a story of a patient who you know, really had a form of cancer that could be treated with radiation. They were an older patient and decided not to make the trips to Longview and just let the cancer go untreated because it was just too much of a burden on them and their family to go out there every day. And they decided just to forego having treatment. So that story has really kind of stuck with me and just made me feel so passionate about bringing this to our community so that that type of thing doesn't happen again. It's also for, you know, young moms who receive breast or, you know, get a diagnosis of breast cancer and have to go, you know, 9, 12, 14 times to Longview to get that radiation. I mean, they're having to find childcare. They're having to work out rides and all of these things that is just completely disruptive to their lives, which won't happen anymore when we have this service in our community. You know, we'll be able to, they may go to OHSU or something like that to have the surgery to remove the lump, but they'll be able to get that radiation right here in our community. And it will be, you know, a couple hour disruption in the morning instead of an all day disruption where they're having to go to Longview or Portland. And so I think that is the thing that I'm just really kind of excited about, that we're going to be able to provide that care to people right here in the community.
Yes, I know we are all saddened by the fact that obviously this is that there's so much cancer in our world today. However, making it easier, my own sister was here, and she did have to go, though, for surgery to OHSU. Fortunately, she was able to get chemotherapy here, which was really good. But it just adds, if you have a diagnosis and you need these services and you choose to have these services, and then you have to add on the expense of going outside the community. So this is quite a feat that you all have, that Columbia Memorial Hospital has managed to do this with OHSU. And then maybe we should just touch on why Phil Knight is so involved and why Phil Knight's name is attached to this.
Yeah, so Phil Knight is just an incredible guy. I haven't had the chance to meet him, but just reading some of the stuff he's written and all of the money that he has donated to the program. So a few years ago, he made a challenge that he was going to donate $500 million to OHSU with the sole goal of curing cancer, if OHSU could get $500 million to match that. So, and they did. So there's $1 billion in that Knight Cancer Institute, and his sole goal, like the mission of that place, is to make Oregon have the lowest mortality rate in the country from cancer. So their work, Dr. Drucker and the team at Knight Cancer are working every day to, you know, achieve just that. And when you try to make Oregon have the lowest death rate from cancer in the country, you have to go out to rural communities and actually provide oncology services. So that was why OHSU is partnering with places like Columbia Memorial, so that it's not just in the big city where people are getting good care. It's everywhere throughout the state that they're getting that care.
Exactly. So. And Phil Knight, of course, is Nike. People probably know that. And we have a question from a listener. I think you maybe mentioned it earlier, but will there be a... I'll let you read the question, actually.
Yeah, so a PET scanner, for people who do not know, is a special type of scan where it's not radioactive, I don't want to say it, because that's not necessarily the right term, but a type of sugar that has a radio... emits sort of radioactive material, I guess. It is injected into your body, and cancer cells take up that sugar at a much higher rate than normal cells. And so we'll administer that, and then about half an hour later put you down into what is a scan. There's a CT scan and a PET scan that goes on. And when a radiologist looks at that, tumor cells sort of glow on that scan. So we can put you through it and then pull it up on the screen and see exactly where the tumors are in your body. And it's used to stage cancers, but also tell us how well treatment is working, like the radiation is working or the chemotherapy is working. For years, we've had to send patients to Portland or send patients to Longview to get PET scans, but we will be able to do PET scans in the new building.
Oh, excellent.
So it's an incredible service that we're very excited to be adding. Yeah.
So, Chris, let's see. I think we have just another minute or two left here. So, Chris, any last thing you'd like the listening audience to know about the Columbia Memorial Hospital, OHSU, Knight Cancer Collaborative, the beautiful new pavilion, which will be opening to the public? Well, you'll be seeing patients hopefully the first week of October. Sunday, October 15th will be a public opening. Any last thoughts?
Well, I think I just want to thank people. I think so many people in the community have been a part of this. I'm sure there are people listening who've either sent me emails or met me when we've been out. I've done 27 different presentations in the community where I've been trying to get feedback from the community on design or things we could do different or services we could have. And so I just want to say thank you to everybody in the community who's been a part of the project. And I just feel really lucky to live in Astoria. We have an incredible community who really pulls together for stuff like this. And so just say thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Chris. Your passion and your generosity of spirit is evident. So glad that you're doing this, and you will continue to do this when the building opens. This
Correct.
Is your role now here. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
My appreciation to Joanne Rideout, who has been our engineer this morning, and my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's good for your mind, your body, and your spirit. And then with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well, but focus on the things that are going well. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you and for doing the best you can. Everyone is. And for being here now in this moment, the only moment that exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.
And you've been listening to Talk of Our Towns on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, 91.9 FM, KTCB Tillamook, 89.5 FM. We're streaming on the web at coastradio.org, and you can hear us on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. You can hear a podcast of Talk of Our Towns. It'll be on our website later today at coastradio.org. I want to tell you a little bit about the weather. The air quality alert that expired yesterday, well, it's back in effect. The smoke is still with us. It's in effect until noon Friday for Northwest Washington and Southwest Oregon. So limit your outdoor activities and take care of yourself in this reduced air quality time. We have patchy fog today in the forecast and then gradually becoming mostly sunny. Highs near 64 today, lows around 56. That theme continues throughout the rest of the week and a chance of showers on Sunday. You're listening to Coast Community Radio. I want to let you know that the Queen of Radio, Debbie Twombly, is in the house. She's going to be with you for a Wednesday folk beginning at about 6 minutes after the hour. And we're going to go into NPR News headlines, so please stay with us in just a few minutes. I want to remind you that the Astoria Regatta is this weekend. You can find out more about that at astoriaregatta.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The Secretary of Defense is warning the North Korean government against even considering an attack. In the wake of North Korea's ongoing nuclear threat, Secretary Jim Mattis released a statement today saying the DPRK, as North Korea is formally known, should, quote, cease any consideration of actions that would lead to the end of its regime and the destruction of its people, end quote. Mattis says the U.S. and its allies have the demonstrated capabilities and unquestionable commitment to defend themselves from an attack. He goes on to warn Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un to pay attention to the United Nations Security Council's decision to impose sanctions. North Korea is reported to now have a nuclear warhead small enough to fit on a missile. And state news media report Pyongyang was considering strikes against the U.S. territory of Guam. Amid all of this, President Trump delivered fiery rhetoric against North Korea, while Secretary of State Rex Tillerson tried to